Cleveland's teams covered on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100.
It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News in. What a great week of savings he's had for us on all sorts of items. And, Matt, good morning. This morning, I love this item. We go into the kitchen. You found something that I think the material is thousands of years old, but it really is a helpful thing in the kitchen when it comes to cooking, right?
It is absolutely the case. We're going back to the cavewoman and the caveman today with a trending kitchen gadget for the new age, the new era. You've seen them everywhere. We're talking the all-in-one, the smart cookers, the slow cookers, you know, those multi-cookers.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference about the one that I found today, well, first of all, the price. We're talking Black Friday prices today. But the all-in-one cooker that I found today is rated best slow cooker by Good Housekeeping Magazine. It's also the top kitchen pick by Weight Watchers, as well as best in class all-in-one in all the focus groups you ran across the country. So we're talking something that can get all of your meals made perfectly. Perfect pasta, rice, grains, casseroles, stews, pot roasts, risotto, paella, brisket. You getting hungry?
Do it all. Yeah. Love it.
So one of the big things about a great multi-cooker is you can make healthy meals from scratch in under 30 minutes. But more importantly, what is in here is a clay technology. So the multi-cooker comes to a boil 4 times faster than, I guess, a conventional slow cooker. It reduces the heat to really make sure you get to where you need to be so you can put your food in, you can set it, and you can forget about it for the day. And more importantly, Bill, the food taste that comes out of here is just as though you've had a Chef Jonathan Sawyer making all your meals for you all day long.
Love it. Thanks, Jonathan. Now, how much for this great thing?
The price drop on this, it's $100 off. We're down $200 to $99 today. Free delivery, two wow. sizes. And if you buy the model that's slightly larger in size, I think you get a free cutting board and a carrying case as well. Stainless steel, really nice way to get it all done. Again, this is an all-in-one, so it is a rice cooker, a slow cooker, a digital steamer. It's even a yogurt maker.
You know, a gift for us in the kitchen, and I'm thinking wedding, too. If you got somebody to buy a wedding gift for this this spring, summer, why not, right?
Oh, absolutely. Wedding would be awesome. In fact, people have something like this on their registry. The one that I found a deal on is much better, WTAM.com, keyword save. Also great for housewarming gifts.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Watch him there this morning. Back here same time Monday with some great savings all week. Matt, thanks. Have a wonderful weekend.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings at 15 and 45 past. And on a Friday, we got us a schedule. We got both other teams are playing tonight.
Yeah, we got a lot going on, right, Bill. It's a great time of year. Browns will open their season at home September 9th against the Steelers. The plan is, of course, for Tyrod Taylor to be the starting quarterback. Now, next week at this time, though, we will know who GM John Dorsey believes the ultimate franchise quarterback can be for this team. And what is the bottom line as he looks at all of this?
The only thing I really care about, do the guys win? Okay, does he have accuracy? Does he have a strong arm? Can he throw the ball in the red zone, you know, in tight windows? Can he drive the ball? At the end of the game, does he win? That's kind of what I look for.
That's the bottom line. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. I still think it'll be Darnold. There's a lot of speculation out there. But I do trust John Dorsey to make the right call. And he's got a decision to make. He says he's still got time to make it. As that was his press conference yesterday. But the countdown is on now. We're less than a week away when all will be revealed. Lots of questions around the Cavaliers as they get ready for tonight's Game 3 at Indiana. The Cavs starting lineup tonight has 64 years of NBA experience. Each player in double digits. Now, J.R. Smith back in that lineup for Game 2, and here's why, according to Coach Lou.
I'm comfortable with J.R. I've been there before with J.R. I know what J.R. brings, and then he can guard Oladipo as well. So that was the reasoning.
Game 3 tonight at 7 in Indy, and of course you can hear it right here. Game 4 also in Indianapolis. That'll be on Sunday night. Last night in the NBA, Joel Embiid with 23. Philly wins in Miami 128-108 to take a 2-1 lead. Elsewhere, Pelicans have gone up 3-0 over Portland, and the Warriors in command 3-0 over San Antonio. Indians are in Baltimore for the first of four against the Orioles. 7:10 first pitch tonight. You can hear it on 100.7 WMMS. Orioles are just off to a miserable start at 5-14. Trevor Bauer will get the start for the Tribe. NHL playoffs, home ice has meant nothing in the Blue Jackets Capitals series. Washington, a winner in Columbus last night, 4-1. Series now tied at 2. Back to the Browns schedule. Based on last year's records, the Browns schedule is the fifth toughest in the league going into the year. But that was last year. Now, the Browns in season openers in their history since 99, 1-14. You may recall last year, the opener against the Steelers, they really were in that game. And that's why I hope that when, however it all shakes down, Hugh Jackson goes into training camp with some urgency. Get ready for that first game. The Browns, so often, I don't know what they've been planning for. And it doesn't even matter who the coach has been. They're looking big picture. Get ready for the first game. It'll be the Steelers, September 9th. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM, 1100.
For nearly 60 years, the president of Cuba has been a Castro. That is changing. Bill Zimfer joins us on the story this morning on News Radio WTAM, 1100. Bill, the leader has changed. How about Cuba? What's the latest?
Well, I don't think we're going to see much of a change from Cuba. Their new president, Miguel Diaz-Canel, is 57 years old, hand-picked successor to Raul Castro. Between Raul Castro and Fidel Castro, of course, they have been the ones at the president's post since 1959. This really was, as I say, a hand-picked selection. It was technically an election, but the only people that can vote in Cuba are the National Assembly members, and there was only one candidate. So the outcome was a given. So what does this mean? Well, Diaz-Canel did deliver a speech, said that the mandate gives continuity to the Cuban Revolution and an historic moment. He said there will be no return to capitalism. The modernization in economic and social models will be done. And he says no compromise in foreign policy. So what does this mean for relations with the United States? Well, they've gone backwards in recent years. You remember in 2014, Raul Castro and Barack Obama reached an agreement to renew diplomatic ties and improve relations. Opened up travel. We began seeing cruise ships go into Havana. Then President Trump stopped business with some Cuban state-run companies. It also tightened those rules for U.S. visitors. And we also have that ongoing embassy issue in Cuba where U.S. diplomats came down with a mystery illness after they opened up the embassy down there. So relations will not get any better between the United States and Cuba. Don't look for any changes.
Bill, this is an emotional issue for people tied to Cuba. I mention this because you worked in Miami for years. I mean, you can go to some neighborhoods, and this is the talk every day, right?
You go down to Little Havana in South Florida, and absolutely, they still revile the Castro family and are unhappy about the way things are in Cuba. And, of course, many of those people, Bill, still trying to get their family members out of Cuba.
All right, Bill Zimfer on it this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
What's going on with your weekend? What to do? Cheryl Z's in here, Cheryl.
Good morning, Bill. Here's what's going on. Cheer on the Cavs at the Q tonight and Sunday for the official watch parties. They continue to battle the Pacers. See the game on the biggest and best TV screen in any arena in the country. Admission is just $5 with 100% of the proceeds going to charity. Get your tickets at any Northeast Ohio Discount Drug Mart, the Q box office, or Cavs.com. Celebrate Earth Day with a party for the planet at the zoo tomorrow with special events and activities all day. Penitentiary Glen and Kirtland gets in on the Go Green Fun Sunday from noon to 4. The Cleveland MS Walk kicks off tomorrow morning at 8 at the Wolstein Center. Join the cause and give hope to the people living with multiple sclerosis in our community. Head to Tyler Village on Superior for the first Cleveland Flea of the season tomorrow from 9 to 4. Hunt for urban treasures, grab some grub from one of the food trucks, or belly up to the flea bar for a cocktail. Rock all over Waterloo as they celebrate Record Store Day tomorrow with music and sales at many of the great shops on the street, plus limited releases and brunch at the Beachland Ballroom. Head to Lakewood tomorrow for the 9th annual Zombie and Monster Walk. The event kicks off at the 5 o'clock bar. It's just $5 to participate, plus donate 2 canned goods to the Cleveland Food Bank. For $10, there will be professional special effects makeup artists on hand to help you get in character. And finally, strap on your cape, dust off your power ring shield, or a lasso of truth. The Great Lakes Brewing Company presents the Superhero Bar Crawl tomorrow from noon to 5 on the Flats East Bank. The event will take you on an adventure of superhuman bar games and heroic drinking. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. I'm Cheryl Z, and that's your staycation update on News Radio WTAM. WTAM 1100.
You just got to stop the magazine sometimes. All right, John Matarese joins me this morning over at News5Cleveland.com, News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. I've had this problem with you subscribe to something or they give you the quote-unquote free offer and then they're dinging your card every month. It's hard to get out of it. John, you came across a story where this lady got, I think, stuck with a bunch of magazines. Now, explain this to me.
Yeah, this is amazing. You know, you hear about free trials all the time. You know, you'll see an ad for a free trial of some, you know, some facial cream, some product, or something for magazines.
Right.
Well, somebody called and offered a woman, do you want to try some magazines, some home and garden magazines, things for around the house? And she says, oh, sure, I'll take a trial. The problem is, this trial now turned into a subscription for about a dozen magazines. They then started billing her, and then she's like, I'm not paying this. I never agreed to subscribe to a dozen magazines. And then what they did was they turned her over to some shady collections company,
sent
her a bill for $900.
Wow.
For 2 years worth of a dozen magazines. And I tell you, Bill, there's a real lesson there. You have to be so careful with any type of free trial offer. A lot of times what they'll say is, you know, free trial, just, you know, all you have to pay is $2 or $3 for shipping and handling. And that's the thing you got to watch out for, because what they do there is they ask for your credit card.
Right.
Once you give them that credit card number for $3 shipping and handling, they've got your credit card number, and you are stuck. And I get so many complaints from people who say, I got roped into some trial of some product, some vitamin, some supplement, magazines, because I gave them a credit card. They're now billing me $30 a month, $50 a month, and I can't stop it. And I say, you just got to be so careful. My advice to everyone is be so careful with a free trial warning. If they want a credit card, don't give them a credit card. Never give a credit card for a free trial. And just be careful with even magazines when they say, do you want to try out some magazines?
Right.
Yeah, sure. I'll try one magazine. You know, I'll try,
right,
you know, some outdoorsy magazine. I'll take a trial of one, not several, because you never know what that's going to lead to. And I would not give them a credit card.
And you know these pitches, they may send you something and say, we'll bill you later. And then you get a letter that says, hey, you owe us because you said you wanted the, you know, you didn't return the one you got. I mean, not just magazines. You're right, John. You can get caught in so many little different things like this.
Yeah. So yeah. Just be careful with trial offers. No one's going to give you anything free, really. There's always a catch with everything. And just be so careful when they say, hey, free trial offer.
The only thing you get free is the advice from John Matarese. And believe me, it is worth much more than free every week. Good story. You can see more at News5Cleveland.com. Thanks, John.
Thanks so much, Bill. Great talking to you.
I also was worried that I was meeting alone with the president to talk about things that were relating to him and to the FBI's core responsibilities. And given the nature of the person, as I understood the president-elect, he might not tell the truth about those if it ever became an issue. And so I needed a written record.
The president said the hookers thing is nonsense, but that Putin had told him, we have some of the most beautiful hookers in the world. He told you that he'd had a personal conversation with President Putin about hookers?
Yes.
Did you believe him, or did you think he was speaking hyperbolically?
He didn't seem to be speaking hyperbolically.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and not like any other day here, Bill, right? So in regards to the president tweeting about the Comey memos coming out yesterday and saying that there was no collusion, no obstruction, and that these memos being released prove that, and that seems to be what some of the Republican talking points are at this point. Listen, if you take a look at these memos, there's never a mention of collusion. It's not kind of thrown into there whatsoever. But opponents are saying just the existence of these memos shows that Comey felt that there may have been some obstruction, certainly some moments that were off-putting for Comey that he felt he had to get the information out. Comey has testified to that himself and is going on the book tour saying that himself. So just the existence of these memos seems to be what people are saying on the opposite side, that there is a concern in regards to the collusion with these memos in general.
All right, meanwhile, we got Rudy coming in. He's going to wrap this thing up in a week from what I'm seeing. What's going on here?
Bill, according to Rudy Giuliani, he thinks that he's got the inside track here, having worked with the Southern District of New York as well in a legal sense, that he's got the inside track here to be able to kind of walk in, sit down, talk to Mueller, probably have some man-to-man, handshaking, eye-glaring kind of stuff, and get this thing put aside. But this seems to be where the president has had the most trouble in the last few weeks and possibly even months in regards to his legal team, and that precedent that the president sets out by saying, I'm always going to tweet responses first before before even addressing the legal team, as we learned with the Stormy Daniels thing over the last couple of days.
All right, Michael Bauer on the noise of the morning. Michael, thank you. Have a good weekend, by the way.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
This is the latest Amy Schumer movie, and the best way I can say this is if you're one of those people who likes to say Amy Schumer's your spirit animal and can do no wrong, you're going to like this movie because it's all about her. If you're annoyed with her and you don't think she's all that funny, you're probably not going to like this movie. I think that's what hinges upon it more than even the story and the plot. But the story is about a woman who's has some body issues and is a little overweight and doesn't feel like she's the prettiest woman around, and she ends up hitting her head and believes then that she is the most gorgeous woman on the planet and the most capable woman, and she goes into life with confidence and things start going well for her. And while there's a certain sweetness to the movie, I mean, it does have moments where I'm like, it does kind of reel me in a bit. But then Amy Schumer's, I'm reminded she's in it. I'm not a big Amy Schumer fan.
Yeah.
I think she's sort of like aggressively pre-defensive on a lot of things. And it also, while trying to give a good message of, you know, be yourself and be about what's inside, it does kind of cobble that message by saying, oh, but you know, everyone always looks and judges us for what we are, and it really has some mixed messaging, and I think she kind of gets in the way of the project.
Interesting take. She has been everywhere this week talking about her and her movie, so that pretty much doesn't surprise me. Okay, I Feel Pretty, the take from Kevin Carr. Troopers 2, out too this weekend, right?
Yeah, Super Troopers came out back in 2002. It was a modest hit in the theaters, but it became a huge hit on video, and a lot of people, it sort of became this cult film, sort of like for frat houses and people who are celebrating today, if you know what I mean. So they were always talking about doing a sequel, and they finally got funding through Indiegogo, through crowdfunding, and 17 years later they got the sequel in which the Vermont State Troopers are back on the job, and they're ready to help transition a Canadian town into an American town because they found out it actually falls on the other side of the border. So it's rife for all the Canadian-American jokes that you can come up with and accent jokes. And you know what? It's funny. I mean, it's about at the level of funny as the first movie. I never thought the first movie was super hilarious, but it had some laughs, and I feel the same way with this one. But ultimately, the best way to know whether you're going to like this one is watch the first one. If you think it's great, you're going to love the first. You're going to love this one because it's cut from the same cloth. If you're annoyed and bored with it, then you'd want to skip this one.
Troopers 2 and Amy Schumer's I Feel Pretty join traffic out this weekend. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. Check his site out before you head out and see something this weekend. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
On our teams, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us. Graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year. You can follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Let's see if we can get through all three. Browns press conference, Dorsey yesterday. I was monitoring here at our studios, walked in a little bit late. Brad Wadella, who's the producer, was on the first 15, 20 minutes. I said, did I miss anything? He said, no. So I stood here for another 15, 20 minutes. All I wrote down was process. And as you write, there was really no news, which is a good thing, huh?
Well, that's pretty much whether it's good or bad, that's how they're going to do it. And, I mean, even some people say, well, they have the first pick. Why don't they just say who it is? I mean, one thought, I've never seen it happen, but suppose you announce, all right, we're going to take whatever quarterback it is, and that quarterback has a car accident between now and the draft. You know, something like that. It may be crazy, but that sort of thing. And so that's, remember, he's open for business. His cell phone is on. That's what he said.
Would you call him, Terry, today? Give him a call.
Yeah, right. No, he's not. Remember, you know, some guys go dark. He said he went black. So I guess that's beyond dark.
There you go.
Because the media thinks. Look, it comes down to, as I wrote a column, do you kind of trust this guy or not? I think he's going to make some good moves and some bold ones. And based upon his history, both in Kansas City and even recently with the Browns, I feel pretty good about it.
I do too, Terry. And I think a point to me, and I think I made this point to you last week, and I just said it in my last update. I just think that he's going to dot all the I's and cross the T's. When they went out and got a veteran backup quarterback to Tyrod Taylor, to have a guy like Stanton, you know, we've seen RG3 go down, and then they have to go to a young kid. We've seen McCown go down, then they end up throwing the guy in. So whoever they get at that quarterback that they draft, that player is not going to be forced in, even if there is an injury.
That's really the hope too. And sometimes, if you really want to train your young quarterback, when you're in a situation such as the Browns and you brought in a guy like Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he's playing, in effect, for his NFL life. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. There's tremendous pressure not only on the coach to win, but for him to win. He's not going to have a lot of time for Josh Allen or whatever. And the coaches themselves are going to be surrounding him, whereas a guy like Drew Stanton, hopefully, will be able to connect with the rookie quarterback and kind of walk him through that. I mean, that was, you know, one of the many mistakes before was the fact that they just didn't have someone like that. And I will say this one, the first year when Sashi Brown was there, they tried it to an extent. They had RG3, he got hurt in the first game. They had Josh McCown, he got hurt in the second game.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Terry, a week from today, we'll know. It's going to be very fascinating next Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with the fourth pick. You know, I'm still in my mind, I think it's probably going to be Bradley Chubb, if he's there, the defensive end, to put some pressure on the passer, because it just sort of fits with trying to create, get an impact player there. But we don't know for sure. I'll tell you, you can look at his drafts a lot and not get a ton of patterns, other than the fact that he probably thinks he can get a Kareem Hunt or another running back lower in the draft.
I agree with that. I hope that's the direction they go. Terry, Cavs and Pacers, game three. What are your thoughts?
Yes. I'm going to be fascinated tonight to see this game because, you know, it's going to be roaring and loud in Indiana. The Pacers should be feeling good about themselves because, you know, they nearly came back and won it despite all the stuff happening to Oladipo and LeBron. But, you know, will the Cavs finally get some confidence? I thought Korver was very candid after the game the other day where he said, you know, we need LeBron to get going because of our confidence because they don't know how they're going to play. So, and remember last year, yeah, they swept them, but I believe the largest margin of victory in any of those games was 6 points.
Yeah, it was a little closer than the sweep would tell you. I don't know that the Cavs have ever had more experienced starting lineup than they're sending out there like they did the other night. And then again tonight, every guy's got at least 10 years, Terry.
Yes, and that, I mean, I guess that could be good or bad, depending upon, you know, because, hey, you can bring back World Be Free. He had a lot of experience, too. So I think what you really want is that guys that understand their roles. The thing that really impressed me was how J.R. Smith totally gave up his offense just to go after Oladipo defensively. I thought that was really good. The question, like you talk about, a lot of experience. Okay, how's Korver's foot? We're going to see how it reacts this time, because obviously he was almost a game breaker for them at time after LeBron when he hit those threes.
Yeah, get you out here on the Indians. Baltimore for four, back here against the Cubs Tuesday. Hopefully they get to hitting, right?
Yeah, it feels like they've been like back at spring training or something. Yeah. They've just been gone. So, yeah, hope them get back to hitting and playing. And I listen to this, I hope it's going to be reasonably warm in Baltimore so we don't hear that. And they also couldn't blame the cold in Puerto Rico for not hitting that day.
That's right. Terry Pluto, great follow on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Check him out at the Cleveland.com plain dealer as well. Terry Pluto, thanks, partner. Have a good week. Weather getting better. And finally, I tell you what, these high school baseball teams, you feel for them. I mean, I follow Medina on Twitter. They've had game after game canceled. Finally today, Indians Charities High School Hardball Classic. And finally, some decent weather for this 15th annual event. So good luck to Bay and Eastlake North. Kinston takes on St. Ignatius. Revere and Chagrin Falls all get their chance to play at Progressive Field. So good luck. Should have some fun. All right, let's talk some Tribe there in Baltimore for a long four-game weekend into Monday. Andre Knott, Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio, joins us on News Radio, WTAM 1100. And, of course, with Andre Knott, you know we'd have a sponsor, AAA Advanced Plumbing. Morning, pal.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about Puerto Rico first. What happens there does not stay there because of social media and Instagram and everything else you did. 16 innings, Frankie Lindor in the home run, and just talk about the experience. On the downside, of course, the power outage, you experience what that people on that poor island have been going through for so long, too, right?
Yeah, it's that is an eye opener, to be honest, to see what goes on an island like that when they do experience that situation. I will say it was odd to do a baseball game, and I was sitting with Rosie, and you look outside of 100 feet, 200 feet past center field wall, and it's just darkness, and the only thing you can see were cop cars. Their lights. It's just odd, and to know that they're still going through those situations. But I will say it was so festive. It was a situation and a trip that I'll never forget. The people are so into the games, and they have so much love for the players that are from that native or from that island. I'm glad I was able to experience it. I know our cameras were there, and we did a lot of different stuff with Frankie and with Perez and his mother and with Sandy Alomar. A trip I'll truly never forget, but I will say it's so odd that they're still going through the situations that they are with the power. Very scary, but very touching time to be there.
Andre, what was it like in the ballpark? It just seemed like it really was an event. It was a happening. The buzz after Lindor's home run, my gosh, that was just incredible, wasn't it?
I still get goosebumps when you talk about the moment in time where he hit the home run, just because of just the buzz, as you said, but it just never stopped. There was almost like a whisper the rest of the evening. And I'll be honest with you, the thing that Lindor needed more than anything else, he needed a night off. He needed a day away. You could just tell between everything he did last week that by the time they got to the ballpark on Wednesday, he was, I think, emotionally just spent. And you could tell, and he didn't say that exactly to me, but you could just tell that the emotions got to him because he tried to make every one of those guys and every one of those little kids happy. As we all know, that's impossible to do.
Andre, back in the U.S. now, as Bill mentioned, wraparound series with Baltimore. And really, it just seems like the weather, it's affected almost every team in the game. But these guys kind of need to get into a routine, into a flow now, don't they?
Yeah, they need to get into a groove of some sort. And they almost were into that before that, when they were at home. And then you had the weather that got bad at home, and we can't talk. This is just what it's been, and it's been this for everyone, as you said. It's not just one team. Every team has gone through this, and it's hard to feel bad for just yourself, especially after being around the Minnesota Twins and their people and their players, because they've had it a little bit worse than the Indians have had. So four games set here. You play tonight. You play Saturday, Sunday with a wraparound game on Monday. And they need to play these games. They truly do. They need to get them in. You go through the rotation. Josh Salmon actually got work when they were trying not to get him work. The starters have been great, but there's no rhythm for the hitters. And really, you hit the Orioles at a time that I don't like seeing teams. The Orioles just went 0-6 on their last road trip between going to Boston and Detroit. Seems like everything is going wrong with them. So you know that with Bundy on the mound tonight, who's been their only consistent pitcher, you're going to get the best that they have. But you know that they're like a wounded dog right now and coming home, where a lot of people are wondering, you know, what exactly they're doing. So the Indians are going to have their handful, I think, the first night or two, but they do need to play games. That's the one thing that's worried and bothered Terry Francona.
With the day off yesterday and the way there's been gaps, I don't think the pitching's really affected by that 16-inning game too much, Andre?
No, not at all. If anything, it probably was a blessing in disguise because all of those relief pitchers that were able to get work. It was funny because before that game, Nick Goody was telling me how he's never started a season and not been on the mound that much. And then he ends up in a 0-0 game. He ends up in the game. I think it ended up helping them out. Not that they'd won another 16-inning game, but it helped because you were able to get all those relief pitchers some work that night.
Bauer, Clevinger, Kluber, Carrasco back here Tuesday against the Cubbies then, Andre.
Yeah, get the Cubs when we come home. They're having some struggles scoring runs as well. And like I'm saying about the Baltimore Orioles, you hope they continue having those troubles until Thursday when they leave Cleveland, right? But
yeah.
It should be fun when they come for two games next week.
Hey, good job on the broadcast the other night, too, man.
Hey, thank you very much. It was a dream come true. It was a lot of fun to be able to
good for you.
Brody.
Good stuff.
It was fun. It was. You guys did a great job there, and they just kept on playing those. Hey, you were wondering about overtime, Dre. You know radio better than that, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I didn't expect it. I thought I was getting an inning or two and I was going to be gone. And then all of a sudden it became midnight, and I'm going, wait a minute.
Good work. Radio tonight, 100.7 WMMS. Andre, of course, will have the broadcast on with Matt and the guys on Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio this weekend. Andre Knott from Baltimore, Total Tribe coverage. Thanks, pal.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Buckeye Nation quiet this morning after the death of Earl Bruce. Passes at 87. See more at WilsonCenter.com, including when he was carried off after that win against Michigan. All right, 8:23, complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Jim Jones in Indianapolis, where the Cavs will play the Pacers. Game 3 tonight, our morning chat brought to you by Huntington, one of a bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. All right, Jim, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Our first chance to talk since the win. Mike Snyder, of course, said to give up after the loss in Game 1. I said, no, be faithful, hang in there, they'll play harder. And sure enough, Jim, you and I were right. They came back and won Game 2.
Yeah, they did. You know, the surprising thing, and, you know, nobody's really talked about it, guys, is that, you know, LeBron's start was so dynamic. You got to remember, after every made basket, the opponents get the ball back. the Cavalier defense was outstanding. You had to have stops in order to create a 16-0 run. And that's been the denominator. It's surprising that they played so well when they struggled so badly through the course of the season. But in the last two games, if you really look at it, they're only giving up 98 and 97 points. The thing that has turned this thing around, I think, for us, is that Ty Lue has settled out, has done some great things. The first thing is he changed the lineup in game two. The other great thing that he's done is he's been able to control the pace of the game. If you notice, we're running less and we're controlling the pace of the game. We're making Indiana have to defend. You know, we're not taking a lot of quick shots. Every once in a while we do. But most of the time, the Cavs have been able to control the tempo of the game. And that's got to be a big concern with Nate McMillan because they like to run, and they have not been able to run a lot against us.
Now, this is the first game on their floor, though, Jim. They, from their perspective, they have to feel pretty good, though. They get a split, had a nice comeback against the Cavs. LeBron has that incredible game. So what are the Cavs going to have to deal with tonight when they face that initial wave that the Pacers are likely to bring to the floor?
Well, you know, sometimes home advantage can be fool's gold. You know, you can put so much credence in it and that it puts so much pressure on you that teams have stumbled, especially when they're coming back home for the first time after a split or feeling good about themselves. The Cavs have been in this position many times, especially those guys that are starting this veteran group, as you mentioned in the post game the other night. I just think it's to the Cavs' advantage to do two things. Stay with the plan. Let LeBron be an offensive threat. And play great team defense like they've done in the first two games. If they can continue to do that, I know that they can at least get one game in Indianapolis. Tremendous amount of pressure on Indiana. I'm reading the papers this morning and last night, and everything is pointing toward that they should win. Okay, let's see how they handle the pressure. We saw how they handle the pressure when Oladipo couldn't get it done. One guy said, well, they're the better team. Well, I don't see it like that. I see they've got one guy who's playing fantastic that can be slowed down, and that's what you have to do. It's not like Golden State where you've got four guys you're trying to beat and outplay on the defensive end. They've got one guy to beat, and when you slow him down, they struggle.
And JR has done a nice job of slowing him down.
Yeah,
Jim, you look at the Cavs, a lot of experience with that starting five, though. Now, historically, young players, role players, they play better at home than on the road. It's going to be interesting for the Cavs to see this weekend how Clarkson, how Hood, how Larry Nance Jr. perform on the road. Your thoughts?
Well, it may be good for them. Think about it. You know, there's a lot of pressure playing in Cleveland, sitting around, walking the streets, people giving you high fives and get it done. And now they're on the road. They can hide a little bit. They can get more into themselves. I don't see it like that. I just believe that if Clarkson can come out and get 10 points, if Hood can get 10 points, the starters can take the care of the rest. Now, Nate McMillan, Mike, you know, we heard it in the postgame, was talking about making some adjustments. Now, you know what most teams do when it comes to adjustments to LeBron. They double-team him. If you double-team LeBron James, that opens up the door for everybody else, Korver and also JR, to shoot threes. And I'm hoping they make that adjustment.
Let's hope. Game three tonight, Cavs-Pacers. They'll tip it off at 7 from Indianapolis. Catch it here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Jim Jones. Thanks, partner.
Thank you, guys.
Snyder.
Yes, Bill, former Ohio State head football coach Earl Bruce has passed away. Chris Spielman played for Bruce.
I don't think people really, when people talk about Earl Bruce, I don't think, like, competitor comes to their mind, you know? How he coached, and he was never afraid of anything, and he had great confidence in his ability.
Earl Bruce was 87. Cavs and Pacers play game three in Indiana tonight at 7 o'clock. You can hear it right here. Indians send Trevor Bauer to the mound as they begin a four-game series in Baltimore tonight. You can hear that game on 100.7 WMMS. First pitch at 7:10.
Total Tribe coverage. Jensen Lewis in Fox Sports. Sports Time Ohio for Falls Motor City this morning. Hi, pal.
Hey, good morning, guys. And, yeah, thoughts and prayers with the entire Ohio State family, as well as the Bruce family, too. What a titan in the program's history. And, boy, you coached 21 college seasons and just one of the great men of Ohio State.
Finally got the chance to dot the I a couple of years ago and had raised millions of dollars. His wife, Jean, had passed a few years ago. He was really active raising money for Parkinson's research and all, and dementia and everything. So Earl Bruce passing this morning. We've got the highlights of him being carried off after that Michigan game at wilsoncenter.com. We got four this weekend in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I got four. And, boy, guys, I'm sure you saw just the pageantry and the atmosphere from Puerto Rico. Two great games. Two really, I think, competitive games all the way to the end. We know the marathon game on Wednesday. I tweeted out yesterday, I thought it was kind of a silver lining, guys, that, you know, when you have those days off from the postponements and the rainouts and then the off days here this week, it's kind of been a weird 7 to 10 days for the Tribe. So I think Tito secretly was kind of happy they played 16 innings so that everybody could really get in position player-wise, pitching-wise. And then if you were going to go that long, you had the off day yesterday to get everybody ready to go. It'll be a nice four-game series, and hopefully the weather cooperates for them in Baltimore.
Hey, Jensen, just a quick take from you. You know, you look at the division, and my gosh, you can see where Kansas City and Chicago are going, and probably Detroit. So you look at the Tribe and the Twins. What's your take on Minnesota?
You know, this was a team, Snides, that I think you and Bill and I talked about early this year as a team that might, you know, come back or regress to the mean a little bit. I think for them, we know that Berríos is going to be one of the budding superstars as far as pitching goes. I'm pleasantly surprised with how Jake Odorizzi has pitched for them, one of their big offseason acquisitions. They still don't have Irvin Santana in that rotation, so that's going to be a boost when he comes back. But the lineup, you know, they're winning some closer games, and that's a credit to Derek Falvey for bringing in their bullpen guys and really keeping games close. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think we knew that. But I think for the Indians, and you look at the rest of the division, if Detroit is in deep trouble, man, it's going to be a long year for them. 100 losses is not out of the question. I think the White Sox are in that category as well, and the Royals too. But it's a two-team race. I think there's no question about that. But it's going to be a fun two-team race all the way through this season.
Now, we look at the Tribe, of course, with the pageantry, all the, as you touched on it, in Puerto Rico. Now, they need to kind of get in a groove here. The weather's affected every team pretty much across the country, at least in the northern part of the country, Jensen. And baseball players like to get into a routine, don't they?
Yeah, certainly. And I think runners in scoring position will be the big thing to watch here for the next 7 to 10 days. It's always been a problem for them right out of the gate. But their pitching has kept them in it. We know that. The rotation has been phenomenal. You know, Bauer going tonight, he's been great. I think Clevinger bounces back tomorrow. And then you wonder with Josh Tomlin over the weekend if there's an ability for him to also continue off a great outing he had. And then you'll have Kluber to follow on Monday. I think it's really set up nicely the way that this rotation has held these guys in every game, almost every game, but it's the hitting. They need to hit with runners in scoring position. They need the guys in the middle, and they really need Edwin, I think, to have a big weekend for them to take the series.
Indians Orioles, 100.7 WMMS tonight. You can catch it there. Also on TV, and you're on this weekend?
Yeah, we are. We're sharing the studio with the Cavaliers tonight and Sunday, guys. So you got both forces at work. Hopefully the Cavs can take both games in Indianapolis.
That means Campy Russell gets first take on whatever's at the table when it comes to break time. That's what that means. Jensen
that
Lewis.
Is, yeah, that is Jeff Phelps and AC, too. We got to share the conference room this weekend.
All right, thanks, partner.
Thanks, guys.